Our text is taken out of the Old Testament, Exodus, beginning with Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through chapter 2:10. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon their birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and let the male children live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and are delivered before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. And she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds at the river's brink. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to fetch it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and lo, the babe was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me. I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew. She brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him Moses, for she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Shall we pray? Almighty God, the foundation of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask, and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness, and mercifully give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not. For our blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." It is astounding, whether it is intentional or not, when reading through the Bible, much is overlooked. There have been 4,000 years of biblical interpretation that have fostered images, either pleasant or unpleasant, which are difficult to overcome. Some of the most unlikely people may appear in the Bible who are the notable giants of the faith, but they were good people in that God discovered something special which we would not have considered. Today, from an excerpt found in one of the most beloved of biblical narratives dealing with the enslavement of the Israelites in Egypt. So the story depicts an attempt by the Egyptian king to kill the Israelite boys and the survival of a child called Moses. Well, reading this passage, all I could think of, what a gruesome and ghastly person who would take the lives of innocent infants and want them to killed or drowned or whatever method that he so chose, he wanted them dead regardless. He had to have had a very, very cold heart and with no conscience whatsoever. You know, the problem for Pharaoh was that the Israelites were multiplying like rabbits. They were being fruitful and reproducing vast growing numbers of Israelites who were surpassing the Egyptian birth rate by leaps and bounds. Pharaoh was definitely paranoid about a possible political threat with those Israelites, so annihilation was the only recourse, but he hadn't counted on God's interference. In the days of Joseph, Israelites were welcomed to the land of Egypt, but between 400 and 430 years later, they were seen by the current administration, who knew not Joseph, but now a threat. The old adage, if you remember, today's friend may be tomorrow's enemy, holds very true. However, not all Egyptians felt this way about the Israelites. God had some of God's best friends in the court of Egypt there and in Pharaoh's presence. God was evidently well respected among many of them. There are three people mentioned in the text who were not of Israelite origin. Two midwives or nurses called Shifra and Puah. The other person was Pharaoh's own daughter. It should be remembered that Egypt was ruled by an autocratic leader. Democracy was not on the lips of this leader. What these women did was very, very dangerous and could have cost them their lives. Each of them individually and uniquely launched their own strategic intrigue against Pharaoh called subtle subversion. Much may be said about these three characters and the way God used them. A delicate situation, nevertheless, when playing low profile to a megalomaniac ruler. You have to watch your cards. You have to watch your step. You do not want to allow the ruler to be aware of what you may be doing behind his or her back. Nikita Khrushchev, Soviet Russian premier, wrote in his memoirs about his predecessor, who had Pharaoh's characteristics and tendencies. Khrushchev wrote, "When Stalin said dance, a wise man danced." So what is the next move in this chess game if you're Shifra, Puah, and the Princess Royal? You make up the most outrageous stories when you're going to hear, "Why did you do this treasonous thing?" They were protecting Hebrew boys and telling the authorities that Hebrew women were not like Egyptian women. To be more literally based and translated, compared to what the text said out of the Revised Standard Version, in the Hebrew language of the conversation conducted with Pharaoh, reads that these Israelite women were chayot. That's Hebrew to mean lively, vigorous, and animal-like. In colorful language, these midwives said that the Hebrews spit out babies like greased pigs in such a short amount of time, testified these midwives, who said it was impossible to arrive soon enough to deliver them. Well, talk about suave and clever. People living under tyranny who attempt to be moral will tell some really creative exaggerations. By the way, pork would not have been offensive to Hebrew people at that time because it was prior to the giving of the law of Moses, which happened many decades later. But courage and bravery in this case came from the most unlikely sources, these midwives and the Princess Royal. They possessed courage that was remarkable. Without concern for themselves, they sought to preserve life rather than take life. In their actions, they mirrored the very nature of God. God is the giver and sustainer of life. We should know that, and we should be reminded about that. At that moment in time, goodness and evil were doing battle, and the women were the formidable opponents to Pharaoh. With proper respect to God, they stood the ground and refused to be willing accomplices to a madman. Those midwives emerge as heroines, and rightly so. In a male-dominated society, they use their intellect and wits. Moreover, they were prepared to stand up to Pharaoh. So it is with that determination which God approved and smiled. The midwives who safeguarded the lives of infants were blessed and later rewarded with families of their own. The reality of life suggests that evil will raise its ugly head when it is least expected. Well, the question then arises, when evil is present, are we ready to face up to it? Shifra, Puah, and the Princess Royal were up to the task because of being obedient to God, which also pleased God immensely. If those evil blueprints that Pharaoh had devised had succeeded, the Israelite nation would have been destroyed forever. But these women earned a powerful place in the unfolding of this salvation story. However, Pharaoh's reign wouldn't last forever. Remember the words of the Mahatma Gandhi of India? He said this many years ago, "When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they seem invincible, but in the end, they always fall." Think of it. Always. These women left an example for us to emulate. They stood against evil. The frail resources of two midwives plus the goodness of a princess had succeeding in outdoing the sinister power of a political ogre. The reality is, a God-fearing person has might and power beyond themselves. These women's presence in this Exodus saga are brief and quickly disappear into history. But the pivotal person who is often overlooked is Pharaoh's daughter. We also never hear from her again after this story, but there would be no further narrative to tell were it not for her. She was truly a subversive character too. In her arms was a child of a people who were supposed to be her enemies, enemies of the state. And in that instant, she performed an act of espionage that despots fear more than any other. She had compassion. Through his adopted mother's compassion, Moses was given the best of everything, including education, culture, and affluence. His adopted mother knew of his Hebrew origin, evidently by the blanket which would have been wrapped around him, plus being a circumcised child of Abraham. Something seldom considered is that God miraculously protected Moses, Miriam, his sister, the Princess Royal, and her ladies-in-waiting. Now, what was it? Scratch your heads and think, what was it that in this one small scene protected them? Well, the Nile River was where the basket was placed, in the reeds of the Nile. But it's teeming with crocodiles morning, noon, and night. But nowhere are there reptiles mentioned in these passages. A miracle? Yes. Imagine the scene if Pharaoh had learned that his offspring had rescued and would raise a child of his repugnant enemy. For us today, we marvel about heroic people and even perhaps wonder if we would have the courage to do such things. Our lives may not take us to fetch a baby out of the river, but we can use our compassion which God has given us to let others know that not only do we care and love them, but God does as well. Sometimes it may take confronting evil head on, as did those women in ancient Egypt, but then God will direct us through whatever purpose that God desires to carry out justice to those who need it the most. If God did it in ancient Egypt, God will do so and continue to this day. Shall we pray? Oh, gracious God, thank you for your guidance and protection upon us. Thank you that you will preserve us through many things. We pray when we are confronted with trouble and evil or whatever it may be, that we will have the courage to be able to stand up to it and look it in the face. We pray, God, continue to strengthen our souls and nurture our minds, that we grow closer to you every day. As Shifra and Puah and the Princess Royal were devoutly obedient to you, may we also capture what they had as well. We pray this through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Now let us now affirm our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God bless.